last week's show. Both of these segments deal with the upcoming play that I believe is opening tonight called The Moors. Thanks again for listening to WEFT Champaign, and here we go with See You at the Show.
Welcome to See You at the Show, another week exploring everything that's happening in local theater in the Champaign-Urbana area. It is January 16th, 2020, and this is Eric Schacht, your host for See You at the Show. We are here today on the eve, on the afternoon, the eve of The Moors opening at the station. So it is a exciting day. I had a chance to see The Moors last night for their last dress rehearsal, and I'm struggling with writing my review for it because finding the right ways to describe it in a way that will translate into a urgent cry for viewers and readers to see the show is complicated. And it was interesting to see in Matthew's interview with Smile Politely, he kind of said the same thing. It's a difficult way. It's hard to summarize the play in a way that will be good marketing, okay? It's set in the Moors. It's set in the 1800s. And that is obviously the title. And it plays a large part of the show in talking about kind of the desolate landscape and kind of a bleakness that exists in the land. However, what I think translates across time and across space is the idea of coping, surviving, and dealing with that bleakness that inherently exists, and I think in some ways in contemporary America exists as much as it has maybe since the Great Depression right now. And so when you have a set of great actors portraying really interesting characters that are exploring themselves and their relationships with others, their place in the world. It is, that's kind of what the show is about. You could, and so it's a little bit existential in that way, but I laughed so much. And there are characters that are obviously comic, but then the performances of others are so funny in the way that they're strong. Joy Hofsommer, for instance, has just another great role. She's Agatha, she's the older sister. And I wouldn't say she has any jokes, but my gosh, the way that she is so kind of like a fierce and committed to coping with her world by making it as unemotional as possible, at least for a while. It's also hard to talk about the Moors without kind of falling into spoiler territory, because when we had Kimmy Schofield and Emma Johnson in the studio to talk about it, we had some very clear parameters on what we could and couldn't say. And I kind of pushed the envelope on a couple of those. And that interview is going to be replayed again, coming up here in just a moment. As I said, it's a spectacular show. Matthew Green directs it. The actresses are Lindsay Gates Markle, as Marjorie, and some possible, you know, bipolar split personality things going on there. Matt Hester is the Mastiff. The other non-human is Emma Johnson, who's a moorhen. And as I mentioned, Joy is in it, and Kimmy Schofield is Holdy. Mindy Smith is Emily. And the and so it's a great ensemble of talent, and they all get to kind of explore these characters and the situation in different ways. And I don't think it's possible to watch this show without, in addition to being incredibly entertained, to think about, you know, what one's own strategy is for coping with the highs and the lows of life, or affection or attention that you are lacking, or a station that you feel that you were born into, or just a lack or absence of love. So here's the way that I started off this review is, how does one cope without hope is a universal question with no boundaries of space or time. Life is filled with disappointment, pain, loss, and suffering. The world can be bleak and unforgiving. Perhaps the fact that we persist is testament to the absurdity of existence. And it is a full plate of existential absurdity that we are served in this Matthew Green-directed play written by Jen Silverman. So it opens tonight at 7:30 at the station, and we'll be running 13 shows. Every show will be at 7:30, except there's one matinee, I believe, on the 26th. So let's go and support local theater. And now I'm going to move into the interview that Linda Evans and I had with Kimmy Schofield and Emma Johnson. Kimmy is also going to be starring in Chicago, which will be at Parkland in the spring.
And here we go with that interview. Thanks so much for listening to WEFT Champagne.
What do you think about the Chicago cast, Kimmy?
I think the Chicago cast is fantastic. I think I'm very excited. Yeah. And
well, congratulations.
I don't think I've
actually like high-fived you or anything.
That's all right. We can high-five. Yeah. But I'm excited. I haven't worked with Jake or Hannah, but I know that when I came to callbacks, I was really nervous when I saw Hannah there. And she also said, oh no, who are you being called back for? But we were being called back for different people.
Phew.
And now we can work together instead of in competition.
So what is your role, Kimmy?
I'm Velma Kelly in Chicago.
So excellent.
If you've only seen the movie, that's Catherine Zeta-Jones' character.
It is. So that's some heavy lifting.
It'll be an adventure. Yeah. I'm ready.
Yeah. Have you ever been compared to Catherine Zeta-Jones in your past?
No, many other actors, but not Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Okay. You got the register, though, is there?
And my dear friend Dustin Yoakam said, you know, a murdering songstress that sounds like you, but I've never murdered anybody, so.
Well, let's see if we can still say that at the end of The Moors. No spoiler alert. Let's talk about The Moors. So this is it's going to be the first show of the year opening up at the station. So there's a lot of pressure kicking off the 2020 theater season. This is a Jen Silverman play. She's incredibly young, by the way. It really surprised me.
How old is she?
I don't know.
Okay, you just said that she was young. Oh my gosh. You've got to back these things up or something.
And it's being directed by Matthew Green, who is not incredibly young.
Horrible.
So
I don't know how old he is.
He's timeless. That's what Matthew
is.
Savage like the Moors.
He's iconic.
And this is what he has to say about the Moors. That was a good segue, right?
I don't have my statement.
Do I have to have intro music? He said, power struggles and love and suspicion and a desire to be valued are the timeless themes in literature. The Moors is a dark comedy set in the same Victorian time period as classic novels like Jane Eyre, But while it borrows themes and even cliches from these books, it is written in a modern vernacular, and its characters are completely contemporary.
You pronounced all those big words that you were afraid of.
I actually skipped the one that I was afraid of.
Well, you got vernacular.
I know how to pronounce vernacular, please.
Four syllables.
Anyway, I think you guys are hilarious in the show. Did you guys, is this something you've always wanted to be in? Did you know anything about the Moors before you auditioned?
I didn't know anything other than that there was a dog and a hen. And then I saw dark comedy, and I love dark comedies, so I just left work on a break and ran over to the Station Theater and just grabbed whatever side was there and auditioned for it because it sounded cool. I like contemporary things, and I like short plays. Not that I don't hate long plays, but I think short are really cool because you have to pile everything into a really short time frame.
And this one goes really fast. I mean,
yeah,
it
super
feels
fast.
It's there's no downtime.
Downtime, no intermission. It's speedy.
Yeah, it's speedy. Even, yeah.
What is the length of the show about?
An hour and 45 minutes.
Okay. So you're producing it, right, Linda?
I am producing it.
So you've seen a lot of the rehearsals?
I've seen some of the rehearsals, yeah, and I've seen the whole show, and it's amazing. And Kimmy and Emmeline are amazing, and the rest of the cast is too. They just have awesome chemistry. Everybody's just got their lines down amazingly. And I mean, you guys are still working on some of the words, but they have the feel of it down, and it's funny, and parts of it are sad, and I don't know, it's kind of sweet in places too.
Well, there's so much talent in this town that I probably overused the term all-star cast. But when I looked at this cast...
You do overuse that term.
Really?
Yeah. I think it's fair for this cast.
But
it is
fair.
I also thought, wow, I haven't worked with anyone in here, really.
Was this the first time both of you have worked with the rest of the people in the cast?
This is my first station show in general.
Wow.
And it's yours too, right, Kimmy?
No.
No.
This is my sixth station show.
No.
Kimmy is a veteran of local theater.
Okay, I know that, but
a baby.
That's awesome.
In the See You at the Show era.
Yeah.
It's her first show at the station. Well, last year she killed it in On the Exhale.
That's true.
At Twin City Theater Company. And Elephant Graveyard was at Parkland.
Elephants.
So,
yes.
Elephants.
Yeah. And I guess I had just assistant directed here, which was at the station, but I did not perform in any in any shows. Well,
just in the last year, yeah.
Yeah, at the Station Theater. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I haven't worked. Joy, Mindy and I were in The Crucible with Matthew. He directed
right.
But we didn't talk to each other on any scenes. And Lindsay and I have been in commercials together and short films, but we've never done stage
And
work.
I feel like you get to know each other more in this.
Yeah.
Because you guys talk a lot in between scenes and mm-hmm. things like that, and it seems like a pretty close-knit cast. So, and
Peter and the Starcatcher.
Yes, I am.
And you're playing a moorhen.
Yes, I am.
Can you explain a little bit what that means? Like, are you dressed up as a hen?
So I actually am in love with my costume, but it is not overly birdish. There are symbolic things like I'm going to have tights that kind of look a color that would be a hen's legs, like a kind of yellowish, orangish sort of thing. But we aren't overemphasizing, like we're not going to be wearing, Matt Hester isn't in a giant dog suit and I don't have a beak or anything like that. 'Cause we are, in my opinion, really focusing on the dynamic between the human characters and the animal characters and showing how the savagery and the humanity plays out on both sides. So we don't want too big of a disconnect there, in my opinion.
Yeah, I was surprised at that. In fact, I've had more comments and questions about friends that I know that are coming to the Moors because of the dog on the poster. They wanted to know if Matt Hester was going to dress up like a dog, and he doesn't. But you will still feel very like he's dog-like. You will still get that feel without him having like floppy ears or something like that.
Well, I guess I still want to understand a little bit better how this works with the two non-human characters. Are you able to communicate with humans?
Not really. So when you were talking about how all the cast has been talking and interacting and everything, it was a bit weird because the animal scenes and the human scenes aren't really connected too much, so I didn't really get to interact with most of the cast until the past week or so. So while the animals, quote unquote, can talk to each other, the animals and humans communicate in ways similar that humans would be communicating to animals, which is the dog is the family's dog, so they treat him like a dog, and the hen stays outside and doesn't really meet any of the humans.
Wow. I mean, yeah. I had an idea of the film, and now it's not really working anymore, so...
It'll work when you see it.
It will work. So
who's doing the costumes? Because it's going to be kind of like a
Susan
cool
Curtis.
And tricky. Susan's doing it again. Wow. Yeah. Awesome. Well, then you're in great hands. And is it kind of, is it period? Is it mid-1800s?
In the script, it says 1840s-ish. And I remember asking Matthew when we started, when is this supposed to take place? And he said, you know, kind of whenever. And I think that goes into, like they said, the vernacular of the text and the way that the characters are being portrayed. I think it would be weird if we made it a period piece. And so some of the costumes look a little bit period, but they reflect the characters pretty well. And I would definitely call it modern versus period.
Yeah, it's a weird mix of modern and period.
Well, which is kind of what her writing style is, right? Because it's set period, but it's in a contemporary voice. Mm-hmm.
Just sort of to display like the timelessness of the themes.
Right.
Of the
play. Definitely it's timeless. Like people will be able to relate to most of the characters.
Yeah. And they're all pretty unique and different. And
yeah. I mean, and they're kind of like bigger than life, especially Kimmy's character. Like
there's a little bit of exaggeration.
So, is there?
Some may say not.
Well, so in some of the in the character assessments that I looked at, your character Holdy is one of the two described as being more weak. Do you agree with that? That you and Emily are kind of the weaker characters, and then Agatha and Marjorie are stronger characters?
I think you could make a case for that. I think Emmeline's character is just a little, she just doesn't know a lot of things. She doesn't have knowledge about the world, and that just is how she is kind of as a moorhen. And she,
oh, he said Emily.
I said Emily.
Oh, Emily.
Yeah.
Got it.
Very confusing.
The character Emily also doesn't know things because she gets dropped into this mysterious place and is just completely out of her element. And my character, Holdy, is kind of naive to the world.
And so are you the younger sister?
Yes,
of
I'm
Agatha?
The younger sister of Agatha.
But I don't know, like weaker in some ways, maybe. But
I think it's more a lack of experience or emotional intelligence versus.
Yeah, I wouldn't call myself emotionally mature in this.
No,
character
right.
is not at all.
But I would say it's all, I mean, they're all very strong female characters. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's kind of every single female character is like a presence. And even if they're more naive or less worldly, they still are a very strong presence. So I don't like the strong weak comparison.
You don't.
But that's just me.
I think it's just they're each a different balance of listening to more emotional side of themselves or the logical side.
Right. Yeah.
So that creates different dynamics between the characters.
Well, that's a great assessment because. This is kind of an exploration of human feelings and what would be the main ones? You said, I think somebody...
Needing to be seen.
Yeah. Okay.
I think, recognition and acceptance. Love is
love.
In there.
Mm-hmm.
Desperation.
Mm-hmm. And power is, I think...
Power is huge.
Something for, you could argue, all of the characters in one way or another with... almost every character.
Right.
Even in the animal world?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, even more so, maybe. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the Moorhen and Mastiff scenes are some of my favorite because I think it's like you're reading a book almost and you're breaking it down when you're watching it because there are just so many themes and a lot of symbolism that goes into it if you're into that sort of thing.
You know how I know that Jen Silverman is young?
How?
Did you look it up on the internet?
I actually didn't look it up, but... I stumbled onto a real brief, like 1 minute description of her talking about what inspired her to write The Moors. Mm-hmm. So let's listen to that.
Okay.
Jen Wonderful. Silverman.
Have you listened to it before?
Parts of it.
Okay.
So I don't think, were you asking that? Like, so I don't really know what I'm playing.
Yeah, that's what
I was worried, like thinking, okay, what if she like drops a whole bunch of like vulgarity and profanity, and I get thrown off the radio?
We'll just start speaking loudly into the mic to cover it.
But she right, is, exactly. But she is.
We got it. To
she
40.
Is a very, very young woman. I don't know how old she is, but that's what surprised me, because the subject matter seemed worldly, heavy.
It's very complex.
Complex. Yeah. So that is the only reason I brought that up before. Okay, here is Jen Silverman. Why? What inspired you to write The Moors is the question posed to her.
I was reading all these letters that Charlotte Bronte wrote to people who are in the outside world, and I was really struck by in the letters she would say, like, she'd give an update about every family member, and she'd say, you know, like, father's cough is getting worse, and, you know, Emily's cough is also getting, everybody also had the typhus, so there's that. And she would just, like, tell about everyone in the family, and then she would say, you know, and it is windy on the moors today, or it is rainy on the moors today. And it was like the moors was a member of the family, and she would always describe what was going on with that land as well as with the family. And so I was really interested in sort of the juxtaposition of these bodies and these frail human connections in this really sort of bleak and merciless place. And when you're in a place like that, removed sort of from the pressures of the outside world, a certain space is created that you can dream yourself into, and you can inhabit, and you can take up in ways that would never be permitted when you're a member of society. And so I was particularly interested in the story of women who are trying to, at any cost, create space for themselves and be seen by each other and by themselves in a way that's different from how they are used to being seen. The Moors we play.
Wow. Linda, did you listen to that before we came on
the air? I did not listen to that. I just watched the show. But that interview does bring up the Moors, the actual Moors, the place, is almost its own character in the show.
Yeah.
And
okay.
So. Yeah. It's kind of interesting. I mean, because it's talked about. It's a huge part of their lives, and it has its own identity, even though no one plays the Moors, but it's almost a character.
So this is going to sound a bit silly, but one of the things that I've done, because we've started to build the set and it's getting there, is I actually named some of the moss that's in the Moors. So I personally am treating it like it's its own thing, because it's like a living thing.
That's awesome. Like, that's on the little stoop.
Yeah, on my stoop. Yeah. I say hi to it every time I come in for rehearsal now. Aww.
Well, as a bird, I mean, that's like great nesting material for you. Yeah. So that totally makes sense.
And you totally come off as bird-like too. I mean, I talk about Matt being dog-like, and you just want to pet him at parts of the show. And you just want to pat him on the head. But you come off very bird-like too. Is there anything you did to channel bird?
A lot of it is just channeling my own twitchy nature that normally when acting I attempt to suppress. Like, you can hear it a little bit in my voice right now, the urge to just kind of like jumble around a little bit. And so I just let that exist now.
Oh, nice. Is there anything that, Kimmy, that you had to bring to your... I feel like your character's a little bit of you, just Shame. Amplified like by a million.
Like I your think, face right now.
Yeah, I think amplified is a good word. I think this is... I really like this show, and I've enjoyed this a lot. I am very used to doing dramas that are more focused on drama or heavy material directly from me rather than comedy, and I think that I am part of the comic relief kind of in this.
Definitely.
That plays very well into how my character develops throughout it. But I definitely started out thinking I don't want to just be this ridiculous, dumb character, which could be played very well if somebody chose to do that. But I wanted to make sure that I continue to bring some sort of, I don't know, stability, I guess, to this character, because there is a distinction, and Matthew has talked about it as well, between the times that Holdy is acting and Holdy is being herself. And I had to find that balance for sure, which was a little tricky for me to do.
Even though your character is kind of flighty, she's actually quite deep.
Yeah. 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 She is. And I don't think she likes to present, you know, the different levels of herself to people because she has a motive of why she's acting the way that she is acting. And I think she's a little afraid of showing any of her weaknesses or anything.
Sure.
But yeah, she's deep and she's funny and strange.
Yeah. And they can't really afford to be weak because they're living in the moors, which is a really tough place to live. Yeah.
Is your set finished?
No.
No. It's almost finished, though.
So what were the elements of, like, that makes it feel moors-like?
There are moss things that Emmeline has named, and there are vines and, I guess, so greenery, I guess. Like a landscape, and it's dark also. And one of the big themes as far as describing the moors is that it's rainy or dark or dreary. And we kind of reflected that in what's painted and the way that we have very basic furniture.
Well, there's always discussion about what to do with the floor at the station. And what did you do?
So going with the whole theme of like being seen and the visibility aspect of the play, the floor is a bit reflective. We've made it like a silver, like a half circle that encapsulates the house. And I really like it, personally.
You don't get to go in the house?
No, I don't get to go into the house, but I get to look at it when I'm off stage.
You probably see it more than the other actors. Because
you really get to appreciate it.
Yeah, yeah, and it's a really neat effect that's not completely done yet, so it'll be even better. But it's pretty much like an outside scene and an indoor scene. So there's not like a lot of set change. A lot is going to be done with lighting, which we haven't added yet. But I think the lighting is going to really add a lot to it. So when does the Moors open?
The Moors opens 1 week from today, the 16th.
Yes. And how long does it run?
Until the 1st of February.
So
station shows are so great, Emma, because you get 13 shows.
You get a lot.
It is. Yeah.
I come
I guess
because
you
had the where we had two.
Yeah.
It used to be just two shows, a Friday and a Saturday, and that was it.
Where is that place you come from?
I did U of I theater for a while, and then also back in high school I did theater, and it was a much shorter run than this.
Yeah, I think we have one of the longest runs in the area.
It's the best.
It is great. I love it.
Except for the snow and the rain and everything. But that's what makes performing at the station so cool. Because I was in Women of Lockerbie in this time slot last year, and there was a Wednesday when it was 10 degrees below zero. There was like some talk to even do the show.
Yes.
And we had 8 or 9 people show up, and it was the best show we ever did.
Yeah.
It was so cool to do it. Cool. And
as
so
long
especially
as one
with
person.
Right. I mean, we'll do the show.
Yeah.
With
one person. Yeah.
Just
all
for
right.
us.
So to get, so you can go to stationtheater.com for more information about tickets, and you'll get redirected to the site, or you can just go the easy way, which is seeyouattheshow.com. Or go to our Facebook page where we track everything like this. There's also, I wanted to mention, for aspiring actors who are so jealous that you're not performing with Emma and Kimmy and this great cast, we don't think we mentioned everybody because I was getting teased when I started talking about the all-star nature of the cast.
Oh, yeah.
But Mindy Smith is in it. Lindsay Gates Markle's in it. And we've mentioned Matt Hester and Joy Hofsommer. Just wow.
I mean, they're all amazing. I really like Lindsay too. I mean, like, and Joy, of course, is amazing. I mean, they're all so different and so cool and so funny and so crazy.
And all six of these actors had great roles just in the past year that we got to cover on CEO at the show. So
and
that's
Mindy
why
and Joy have to wear
corsets.
Ooh.
Yeah. So they get extra shout outs for wearing corsets in the show.
They're doing a fantastic job
in
rehearsals.
I mean, you could not pay me to wear a corset. So awesome job.
Well,
do you want to mention the audition? Did you mention the audition coming up?
You have to go to seeyouattheshow.com /auditions.
We're
running out of time. But there's Steel Magnolias, which is my favorite, probably it's one of my top 5 movies of all time. And it's a great show, and it's being directed by Jenny Guerin, who gave me my big break into show business. So audition for The River, who's being directed by the Mastiff, the great Matt Hester. And this has been See You at the Show, 40th episode. Thanks for tuning in. Kimmy, Emma, good luck.
Thank you.
This is going to be a great run. Surfability Freakout coming your way.
Thank you, guys.